the Lord's laid on your heart.
Thank you, Nelson, for those kind words. And I've been wanting to take a look at Ephesians, chapter 6 there. And in introduction, in a bit of a way of word review, last week Brother Ken Wagler had about power. And there's three words used through Ephesians of power, but come from a different Greek word. And a lot of us know Romans 1:17, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation, and to the Jew first and then to the Greek. That word power is dynamite, or we get our word dynamite from. So it's dunamis, it's Greek. And that word comes out in Ephesians several times. But there's a couple of verses there that Ken was mentioning, and it intrigued me. Which words are those? And so I've written them out in dunamis is here as well. The verse I was going to look at, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. That's verse 10. This word, be strong, is like the word dynamite. Dynamite is the resurrection power. And it has a prefix in front of it, en power. So en dynamo is the Greek. So the other words there we had last week was the mighty working of his mighty power. That's with dominion, vigor, strength. And that comes out in this verse here. That's God's mighty victor, or vigor, or his strength. And then the other powers, talking about powers of darkness, those are forces, authorities, jurisdictions, right? That's another Greek word. I didn't write it down. It's different, though. If you want the Greek numbers, they are in the Strong's. And it's interesting, we have English words here. One word covers three different Greek words. Well, if we knew a lot about snow, like the Eskimos would, or did, they have like 50 words for snow. And every word is a different type. We might have sleet, wet snow. Well, we put a prefix or an adjective in front of it, but there's that many words. So before we get started, let's commit our time to the Lord. Well, Father God, we thank you for your letter to the Ephesians, and we thank you for your working in their hearts and empowering them, and for this message that we can have from your word in freedom. Lord, I pray your strength in delivering in thoughts that presented your word and how and which to bring out. Lord, I pray your enabling, your Holy Spirit, blessing, anointing. Lord, we need your help. None of these thoughts, Father, can convey any power of our own strength, but of you alone. So I pray in Jesus' name, amen. First off, I'd like to read the chapter, Ephesians 6, then. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart as to Christ, not with eye service as men pleases, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. And you, masters, do the same things to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven and there is no partiality with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And we'll end there and trust the Lord for the blessing on his holy word. So with looking at this verse in the, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, there's a connection here to the previous thoughts presented in Ephesians, and this is in union with the Lord in Christ. And so in being strong in the Lord and the power of his might, I've kind of titled it to do the master's work with the master's strength. And this is a picture Paul sees. He's probably in guard or in Rome there, was in prison and saw the Roman guard there. And I looked up a picture of what a guard might look like and just put some verses beside each. There seems to be 6 different areas that he talks about here. And we're not wrestling in the physical world just against flesh and blood, but it says against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this age, and against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. And these are things that we don't see. We know of them because Scripture tells, the Word God tells us of them. And in other places of revelations that we see John having this picture given to us of the revelation of Jesus Christ, the unveiling. So as we get into looking at put on the whole armor of God, this is repeated again, verse 13, therefore take up the whole armor of God, knowing we have this battle, knowing we are in warfare. And the idea there is that why put on the whole armor of God? So that you don't get hurt. So just like in warfare, these soldiers had all this to protect them from being even hit with an arrow or with in hand-to-hand combat with an injury from the sword. So it's saying here twice, take up the whole armor of God. And I can see times that I may be using one piece or that in my life. But at any rate, there's 6 pieces here that are used. And the first is having the loins girt about with truth, and then having on the breastplate of righteousness, and as for the third, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, then take on the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation, and then the sword of the Spirit. So the first 5 of these are defensive, the last one's offensive. Defensive and offensive. It can be both ways. And then concluding, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. The point there of being strong in the Lord is, this is a, am I doing this in my strength, my flesh, or is it in Christ? And so just want to reflect on some of these verses. And I was looking up this connection with Christ, and this numerous times it comes out, this Ephesians 1:3, just right away, where blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Where this phrase "in Christ" comes, it's in union with Christ. And this is, this connection is also verse 11, chapter 2, verse 6, chapter 2, verse 10, and verse 13, verse 15. The beautiful one to me, I want to focus on a moment here, 3, verse 12, and these verses in chapter 3. There's some beautiful verses here. According to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. And this was mentioned in the prayer meeting on Wednesday, that we can have this confidence in entering in prayer because of the righteousness of Christ. We're standing in Christ's name in the covering, and mentioned this atonement this morning. We are covered in the righteousness of Christ. God looks at us as in Christ. And then also, chapter 4, we're members of his body, verse 30. And the picture there is of a man that shall leave his father and mother, and the two join to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is the picture of us being in Christ. And as we read in Psalm 16, in his presence is fullness of joy. That's what we have in Christ. And so this is a picture that Paul demonstrates here, and also with the slaves and the masters here. He's telling the slaves to be sincerity of heart as to Christ. And then bondservants of Christ, and doing it service, verse 7, as to the Lord, not to men. and this is, it's saying the same is for the masters, and I wonder, what are the same things the masters to do? It says, giving up threatenings, knowing that your own master also is in heaven. There is no partiality with him. To God, whether it's the master or slave, they're both in Christ, and at, we say this phrase, at the cross, it's level ground. In Christ, it's level ground. All can come to salvation. All can come to the cross. And in this warfare, this is provided by the Lord, this enabling, but it is ours to put on. Back in chapter 4, it talks about things putting off. And what are we to put off? Our verse 22, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to deceitful lusts. And then it talks about putting on. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man which was created according to God, true in true righteousness and holiness. And this is very key. Putting on, and it comes out again in this, when we, as it were, we put on the whole armor of God. It says that twice over, and then putting, like the warrior, he would have to put his breastplate on. It's like Paul just pictures it. You put your shoes on, a belt on, and a helmet. I was going to bring my motorcycle helmet, but then I wouldn't be able to see you, so that doesn't work. So that would be a good visual. But at any rate, these just share some of the verses that, first of all, having to do with your loins girt about with truth. So it's like the so it's like a belt. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. And as I was thinking of the loins is the central area of your body, and sensitive fairly easily to cuts, or and also it covers up our privates, and that speaks to me of holiness in morality, in moral things, of our stomach, our spleen, our liver, all these places that in some places the liver is what you're thinking, what's in your liver. We say the word heart, but that could be the area that's being covered as well. Where is our heart? We are to do things with our heart, with our liver. So protect those areas. And the thought there in chapter 4, that in true righteousness and holiness, that we're thinking on holy things, that we're not being, as it were, open to the devil's injuries in that area for not being covered. So then having your loins girt about with truth. Well, what is truth? And we have it right here, the Holy Bible. And the world maybe scoffs at truth. Back to chapter 4, verse 15. I want to apply this in this instance. The words wrestle here was individual. Our brother Pat Long pointed out this morning's passage was to you all. We had a word in Indonesian. It meant you as everybody. There was another word for just you in person. It was personal. Here, this wrestle is hand-to-hand combat. Every fight David had, he won. And then in the example of Goliath, every fight up till David, he won, but not the one with David. Well, it's one-on-one battle, and it's what your battle is. What is your battle that you're going through? This is put on armor for your battle. So, verse 15, but speaking the truth in love. So it has to do with our speaking, and grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. And with truth, if we don't have a foundation of some sort, we have this saying, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. Well, truth, there's truth in our thinking that the Lord Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We have God's word. It's truth. Also, the chapter there talks about lying, the words we speak. Let verse 25, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor. It comes out time and time again. Paul, preceding this thing about truth, he's already talked about it previously in the chapter. And then also verse 28, let him who stole steal no longer, let him labor, working with his hands, what is good, that he may have something to give who has need. 29, then, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Everything we say is either a negative bias or positive bias. If we think, had a tough time with a customer or something, we may have a negative bias, and what we say about each other has possibly a put down. When we go on the canoe trip with the boys and Rob there in Moon River, one of the things Okay, guys, there's not going to be any put downs of anybody here. If anybody catches me saying anything, be bold and speak it out. We're not here to put each other down. So this verse is what is good and for necessary edification. Do we think about what is good to say that edifies my brother or my sister? How does it impart grace to the hearer? Well, there's different ways we can react in situations. That's what I find myself a challenge with. I find life is a discipline and often a test. Well, the hardest test I've had is my reaction to a bad situation or to something wrong is not always very good. But that we can impart grace, what's grace? Loving kindness to the hearer, so that we can edify, that we can build up the hearers. So be careful what we say with our mouths, that it's truthful. The next one was righteousness, and godliness with contentment is great gain. And this word godliness is like righteousness. It speaks of an orderly way of life. And with the Ten Commandments, we are living in relatively order. Our country is not in chaos. We have the Ten Commandments that we've generally lived by, and our country we're reaping the consequences of the past 100 years of past godliness. Well, that may be about to change. As we see some countries like Haiti, almost gone into anarchy, Zimbabwe, just horrible. Venezuela, we saw it going down. Oh, just, that's incredible. So the next part we have here is after the breastplate of righteousness. Oh, what does the breastplate cover? Well, our lungs, our heart, and what do we do with our lungs? We breathe. So what are we taking in? Garbage in, garbage out. We had this training at New Tribes back in the day, and it was what I think on is what's going to come out in words, and what comes out in words eventually comes out in character. And some of you may have heard that before, but it's so important to take in good air, things that are good, and as also for the heart, that our lungs, bit of biology here, transfer the oxygen that we breathe in into our blood vessels, and they turn in, go to our brain, and give the rest of our body oxygen that it needs. Any of that doesn't happen. If the heart stops pumping, we're over. It's over. At any rate, the next area was, we'll get into, so the breastplate, right, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And for that, I'd asked, if we have any pair of shoes, well, Dutch shoes, Klompen. For you that know Dutch, Klompen are wooden shoes. And we all know the Dutch phrase, like, you have wooden shoes, wooden head, wouldn't listen. Well, that's sometimes pretty true of me. At any rate, the shoes here, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. It's the feet, what you walk on. And how shall a young man cleanse his way? But by taking heed thereto, according to thy word. We read that in Psalm 119, verse 9. But the idea is there, peace, gospel, is the good news, Jesus' salvation, reconciliation through the cross, through Jesus, through faith in Jesus, through faith in his work. That's the peace we can have with God. The peace we have in our lives, there's a verse in John 16:33. These things Jesus is talking to the disciples just before going to the cross. These things have I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Everything in the world that was before Jesus, he overcame it. And that's what our aim is, to be overcomers, to have victory. So Jesus spoke these things in his word, this preceding in John, that we may have peace in our tribulations in this world. Another beautiful verse I found, or just thinking of Romans 10. And maybe many of you know it. How beautiful. And it's a quote from, I want to say, Isaiah 52. At any rate, how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. So what are we doing with our feet? Is it running after the pleasures of this world? And is it running in our situation? Is it a difficulty? Is it running after another man or woman from your marriage? Or is that man that's needed is Jesus? So having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And it takes preparation, it takes prayer, even in the day tomorrow. Who am I talking with? Am I prepared to speak peace, the gospel, somehow, to whoever is there on the way? Back to Ephesians 6 then. So having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Now, this is something, faith is something that's not a visible thing to put, to identify. And yet, it's our faith in the Lord Jesus, in the shield. It talks about these fiery darts. That's, I would say, in reading on it, it was, MacDonald would say, doubts. In amongst a group of people, maybe being persecuted, there would be community, maybe bad words, strife, people saying nasty things, and that can ruin a good reputation. We just see it on the news time and time again. Somebody says something negative about the prime minister or the some leader or some well-known person, and it ruins them. And that we need to have the shield of faith to be able to quench all the fiery doubt. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13:13, now by these three, faith, hope, and love. Well, the greatest of these is love. But faith is one of the three things Paul was really emphasizing. And he comes back to here, we need to have this faith, this shield, this protection in front of us. And I liken it to a pair of sunglasses that are really dark. And over in Venezuela, I was in the sun every day. I didn't have sunglasses per se, and I came back and I had a hard time driving on the roads here for any length of time, and I went to the doctor, and he looked at my eyes and they were burning after driving for not very long. And he says, well, you've got this callus over top of your eyes, and have you been in the sun a lot? Yeah, I just came in from Venezuela. Well, it's like this opaque, clear had developed over time over my eyes. And thankfully, it doesn't bother me anymore, but we need to have this shield over our eyes, over our body, over our mind, over every part. And the story I was thinking of was David. Maybe we'll just sidetrack here for a minute on David and his encounter. And let's go to Samuel 16, because it brings out a point about David that sometimes isn't mentioned in his choice. Saul, the previous king, or he's still king of Israel, he had rejected God's word and disobeyed. And so then Samuel challenges him about it, and there's this king that he was supposed to have killed, Agag of the Amalekites, and he didn't. He spared him and other good things, and he said that he did it for a reason, but the people persuaded him. So it says there that the spirit left Saul. And then the next chapter, verse 16, we had, verse 14, it says that, but the spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and distressing spirit from the Lord troubled him. So we get to David, and then get my verse here. Let's read chapter 16, verse 7. He goes to Jesse in verse 6. Samuel says, previous verse, he's come peacefully. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons, invited them to the sacrifice. So here we have verse 6. So it was when they came that he looked at Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. So they go through all the brothers, and none of them are of the Lord. Then Samuel says, verse 11, are all the young men here? Then he said, there remains yet the youngest. And there he is, keeping the sheep. Well, he must have been out in the field somewhere that they could see him, because there he is. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him, for we will not sit down till he comes here. So he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, so that's kind of reddish maybe, lighter reddish skin, with bright eyes and good looking. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is the one. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And here's the phrase, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose and went to Ramah. So here we have David anointed as king, previous to him becoming king. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David. Now, some time passes, and we get into this story of David meeting up in a battle with Goliath, and his spirit is stirred by Goliath saying what he said, defying the armies of the living God. And that's we'll get to the next chapter, verse 36. So David is testifying to Saul and volunteers to, and he's just a boy, just a kid, taking on this seasoned warrior, Goliath. And Goliath's mail, just his coat of mail, like the breastplate, 57 kilo. Well, 50 kilos, 110 pounds. I'm just over that myself, never mind carrying that. and going to battle with 125 pounds or so, 57 kilo. I didn't do the math, but this guy was huge, possibly 300, 400 pounds, and just to be able to carry this stuff. But at any rate, David says to Saul, your servant, in verse 34, used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lamb or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth, and when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them. Here's the phrase, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. All these other men, they might have known this, but it irked David. It spurned his spirit, the spirit of God in him, to do something about it. So, verse 37, moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. So then, verse 45, David says to the Philistine, you come to me with sword and with spear and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand. I will strike you and take your head from you, and this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And as we read the rest, the next three verses, 48, so it was when the Philistine arose and came, drew near to meet David, that David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Then David put his hand in his bag, took out a stone, he slung it, and struck the Philistine in his forehead, so that the stone sank into his forehead and fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. It says he just had a staff. And it seems like from the context that this huge guy was sitting. So verse 48 says, so it was when the Philistine arose. Like all this time that they were, this conversation took place, he was sitting there. It was like he wasn't about to fight. And it says David ran ahead, verse 48 there, toward the army to meet this guy. Well, it's just in that action, David was so accurate with his sling that possibly this guy be moving, but he'd have a moment when he stood up and let that stone go that it hit him right in the spot that he wasn't protected. Well, where was his shield? Well, he did have a shield bearer. Possibly he wasn't paying attention. That was costly. The shield bearer was there to hold the shield, and then when the conflict started, the warrior would put it on his arm and protect himself. Well, possibly Goliath didn't even have that ready and didn't have it on, but anyway, we know it was the Lord that caused this great victory. And in the great victory, there's a name came out in Exodus 15 when Moses and the people of Israel crossed the Red Sea. They sang a song in the name of the Lord. Then Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to the Lord and spoke, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. And when we're in a battle, that we can sing. And Ephesians 4:5 talks about singing in spiritual songs and hymns one to another. Well, here it says, I will sing to the Lord. This is a choice again. Will. The word will. I will sing to the Lord. How often do I catch myself singing? Not enough. For he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will exalt him. So here we have David, Moses' song, and David's had a great victory. And we read some of the Psalms, some of my favorite verses. Psalm 18, 1 to 3, I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. And back to a verse I just forgot to mention was the one in Zechariah 4, 6. The word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but my spirit, saith the Lord. And then there was one in Proverbs, that a verse about the shield that I forgot to mention, that every word of God is pure. It's pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in him. And I was trying to go over a list of things that Satan, he's got schemes against us. And there's a list kind of made up, or just, and there's, you'll have, you know what it is that wants. These are some areas of the battle, schemes of the devil, doubting God, his goodness, love, his power, his grace, his provision. And there's mentioned a couple of weeks ago in the prayer time, we have, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He's the shepherd that provides food and water. He's the shepherd that protects. And he's the shepherd, he has a plan for you, a purpose. That comes out in Ephesians over and over again. Because of his own purpose, that's Ephesians 1:11. There's a purpose there. But in the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness, man shall not live by bread alone. What was the first temptation? Was bread, something for Jesus to eat. He was starving after 40 days. The next one was what? To jump off this high point, pinnacle, protection. That's doubting. Satan wanted Jesus to doubt Jesus, God's protection. The next one was what? To bow down to Satan's plan, to his. Well, he wanted Jesus to doubt God's plan. Well, these are all things he uses on us. Another way, when life becomes difficult with troubles, sufferings, persecutions, and in trying to witness, to me there was a fear of man, and I didn't look up the in Proverbs, I think, or Ecclesiastic, it brings a snare. So another way was false teachings, teachers with confusing doctrines. Like I'm thinking the works that they were talking about in Galatians, they're leaving the gospel of grace, and Hebrews, they're going back to the law. Another one was a battle with bizarre things were happening, hindering my service in the Lord. And Paul talks about a thorn in the flesh. Another way is in divisions or lack of unity among believers or God's people. Another way was doing the works that I do, going to airport runs or whatever, serving the missionaries in my own strength, works of self. And then another area was hypocrisy in my life or in the church or in religious unbelievers or disobedient believers. Another way is Satan wants to deceive believers into materialism. And this is an area I really struggled with before going into mission work, was that parable of the sower. There was one area, just verse 22, I'm like the seed. He who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. I felt my life was becoming unfruitful with this materialism of the world. And then another area is disobeying God, as we see in Jonah. I'm going to wrap it up then with that in closing, that we could sing a hymn of victory. And I did have a verse for whatsoever is born of God overcomes this world. 1 John 5, verse 4. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. And in closing, I'd like for us to sing number 520, Day by Day, and then I'll close in prayer. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for that it may give seed to the sower, and that as your word goes out from your mouth, that it will not return void. And Father, we pray that we would use that sower too as the moments come, and that you give us direction and bring it to mind, and that your word will not return to you void. So just thank you for this day, and we pray your blessing on the week ahead, on each and every part and each and every family. Lord, pray for your word to go forth, your people to be strong in you, and help us in the personal struggles day by day that we have in life, and that we have your peace, and you've promised that to us because you have overcome the world. So we thank you, Lord Jesus, for your enabling and your blessings with us. In Christ's name I pray, amen.